Our new theme music by my German friend, Christophan, who I met while overseas on vacation, a very serendipitous happening. We've heard nothing but very positive things about the new theme music, and it was time for a change, and we're glad we're able to bring that to you. Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray, producing and engineering the show. And we welcome you to our program on this Thursday, June the 9th, 2016, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Live streaming means basically if you're near a computer anywhere in the world. And while I was overseas in Europe, I listened to Ray Allen when Ray was hosting the show for me and our other great guest hosts. It was 8 o'clock over in Europe in the evening, but hey, it was the Buckmaster Show, and it was coming to you live, and that's what's really changed a lot in broadcasting now with that live streaming. We're going to begin with a newsmaker interview. District 5 Pima County Supervisor Richard Elias is with me in studio. 12:30, UA Surgeon Dr. David Armstrong talking about the epidemic of diabetes and pre-diabetes in this country. It's costing people their limbs. It's costing this country a lot of money. It's really a bad situation, but there may be some hope. Dr. Armstrong will tell us about that. And we'll close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. Richard Elias with us. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing great, Bill, and just enjoying another summer here in Tucson, the place that we all share and love. And you know, Bill, your show just continues to get better with every little thing that you twist and change. I think you've done a remarkable job, and congratulations on your Hall of Fame award in Nevada. I want everybody to know that's what hard work will do for you. You start to get some recognition later on in life, and we're proud of you, Bill, and it's always
Thank
great
you.
To be on your show.
Thank you very much. Almost 50 years in the business. I have been very blessed to be at certainly the right place at the right time. The supervisors meeting, you and your colleagues decided it was a very busy agenda on Tuesday. One of the items that I would like to begin with is former supervisor Ann Day, who lost her life in that tragic automobile accident up on Sunrise a month or so ago. You will be honoring her with renaming a park, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And actually, it's a park where she used to go and play with her grandkids. And one of her grandchildren was there and spoke eloquently about Anne and her career and the fact that they used to enjoy time together there at that park. Truly a sad day in Tucson when Anne was very unfortunately killed in an automobile accident. But, you know, in reflecting about Anne, and it's been a month now almost since she's gone, but the truth is really that she found a way to win.
Mm-hmm.
As a minority member on a local board, that's very difficult to do. And very often we talk about politicians and elected officials who cross the aisle and work together with others. Anne did that, but more importantly, she found a pathway to coming up with issues and ideas that she could win.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was so unique as I think back on it, and I'm proud to have served with her, and we used to enjoy jokes together because she was the consummate ranch girl from eastern Arizona, and she would tease me endlessly about being a hopeless city boy from Tucson, despite my ranching heritage.
Yeah, I first met Ann Day when she was at the in the Arizona legislature, and the woman just was very classy, and she was always very personable and always available to me and others in the media, and she certainly will be missed, and I'm glad that her name will live on in the form of this legacy with the park.
And we're also looking at the wildlife crossing bridge over Oracle and the feasibility of naming that after Anne. That might be coming forward here in a couple months, but there's a lot of technical issues that have to be completed before we can do that, but that's a likely possibility too.
7-9 790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in our conversation and enhance it. Richard Elias is always welcome to your calls. He likes to hear from not only his constituents in District Number 5, but anyone who is listening and has a thought or two about Pima County government. The supervisors, you and your colleagues, setting the budget for, I guess the formal adoption will come early in July, but it was a 4-1 vote. And once again, Supervisor Ray Carroll voted against this budget. I think he's pretty much voted against every budget that's come up since he's been on the board in 20 years. But anyway, it was 4-1. And what does this spending package look like?
Well, we're setting the ceiling for spending, actually, what we do a tentative budget. And so we reduced the primary property tax rate by 10 cents, which is very significant. And so really that's a 20 cent drop from what was originally proposed by Mr. Huckleberry. But fortunately, we had a good win in court in regards to the state of Arizona and their really capricious and arbitrary decision to let the Property Tax Oversight Committee decide who was going to pay for the 1% money that was related to TUSD and their spending. So that was a really significant win. It's worth about $15 million, $16 million to us. Allowed us the opportunity to still provide for the services that we vitally need in Pima County, but also to reduce that tax rate by a significant figure. The other thing I would say is that we had a discussion about compensation for our employees and recognizing that we have really balanced the budget on their backs over the last 8 years, and we have made some real small raises for them, but it's time to look at some compensation issues differently for them and try and take care of those employees who are earning significantly less than those top earners there in the county.
Does it look like the state is going to appeal that decision?
Well, and that lawsuit? I there's no way to use your crystal ball and analyze what the legislature might be up to. Mm-hmm. If I could do that, I'd probably be, you know, like more than a county supervisor. But the truth is that they'll either appeal this decision or else there'll be another bill passed in January, my guess, doing the same thing but finding a different angle on it. For right now, it gives us the ability to offer some relief as we promised voters. Last year, we said we're raising the rate 10 cents. This is solely because of this legislature's actions. We took it down that 10%, and then we took it down another 10% that we were looking at for this year. Supervisor Valadez said it very good. That's a promise made and a promise kept.
So when we go to all of us that like to kind of budget on our property bills, does this mean it'd be about a little bit less this time around or pretty much the same on the property tax?
You're probably going to see a little bit of a reduction in your property taxes because of that 10-cent drop.
790-2040, 790-2040. Richard Elias is with us. The Caterpillar deal, that was the lease deal came before you and your colleagues at the meeting, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a good opportunity for Tucson and for Caterpillar to come downtown for a few years and lease that building we own there at 97 East Congress. They're going to be moving into the two of the floors there on that building and then easing into the third floor within the first year. These are high-paying jobs. These are not really working-class kind of jobs. These are people that'll be coming in from different places that Caterpillar's at right now, but also hiring locals. The future is likely that Rio Nuevo is going to build another office building for them over in the Rio Nuevo site, close to Sentinel Peak on the west side of the Santa Cruz River. likely a $50 million building that's going to be built by Rio Nuevo and then leased to Caterpillar for a long term.
Let's go to the live line. Our friend Jim has called. Jim Kelly would like to speak with Supervisor Elias. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Bill. Hi, Richard. How are you today?
I'm fine, Jim. It's nice to hear your voice.
Good, good. Richard, number one, congratulations on getting the deal made for across from the spectrum for the Bourne property that they're developing. I want to talk about the city of South Tucson. We're going to be welcoming Caterpillar people here very, very shortly. We have got to do something to at least have something better looking than what we got now. Is there a way for Pima County, Pima Association of Governments, and private entrepreneurs to get that land wrestled away from Dennis Littrell, assemble it with the borderland property and the racetrack, and do something that creates sales tax revenue, developed property taxes for the county, and gets the boot off the neck of the city of South Tucson so they can pay their bills, at the same time improving the aesthetic welcome that everybody gets as they drive past I-10 and I-19 interchange.
All right.
Yeah. I understand your concern about that, Bill. Jim. And, private sector opportunities right now are ultimately being worked on by the city of South Tucson. And I know that they're busy right now putting together an economic development plan in conjunction with Primavera and local business people, as well as the residents of South Tucson. So we look forward to see some changes in all of that. And certainly the aesthetics of Tucson are important to all of us. But you're right, there's some tax equity issues there that need to be confronted. And the city of South Tucson, whose people really want to remain an independent community, I might add. That always seems to be the eternal question. And why won't they go away?
Yeah.
But they're not going to go away. And they have every right to exist. And they have every right to exercise the notion of economic development, what they see fit for their own community and their own housing issues as well. All of that is starting to change, frankly, in all the neighborhoods that are surrounded by that surround downtown, and all the economic development changes that have been brought by having an active, lively, vibrant downtown.
All right, we're going to pause right here, tell you about Green Things coming up Saturday morning at 10 over at Green Things. One of their very popular, they do this every Saturday. It's a free workshop for anyone that wants to come out and learn about gardening. And they do all different areas of gardening. And the 4 acres is expanded to 13 acres, 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. Great place to go for really all of your gardening needs, and also their pottery. Fantastic at a very good price point. Check it out. Green Things, a destination in itself. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website travelsmarttus.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Tucson's mayor, Jonathan Rothschild. Our Friday roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gaston of The Star and Jim Nintzel, The Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch. Put it all together, it's on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Thursday afternoon, 12:22. Richard Elias, District 5, Pima County Supervisor, is with me in studio, and Matthew has been waiting very patiently at 790-2040. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Richard. First of all, I want to congratulate the county on obtaining a $1.5 million MacArthur Foundation grant to attempt to work on reducing the jail population. That is a huge win. I think there's only 11 primary cities that won that award, and Pima County is one of them. And I hope this leads into my second part question, is which is my concern for also the homeless in the county. I believe that the numbers for the city count were actually higher than they normally are for the summer, which leads to me to believe that a lot of people didn't leave Tucson, didn't leave Pima County to migrate to other areas of the, that they normally would. And we have got to find a way. We're still lagging on how to find housing and for homeless people. And I think that you guys, if you could wrap the Pima County issue of how to reduce jail population and also improve the homeless situation and job opportunities. You guys are really leading the way around the country. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Matthew. And we are very proud of that MacArthur grant, MacArthur Foundation grant that we got. And we're looking forward to working with folks to reduce the number of people that are in Pima County jail and in a way that makes sure we maintain safety in our community. We've had excellent success at our juvenile detention center doing very similar things, and we've reduced our population there from when we started 10 years ago. It was about 200 kids that were in detainees every day. Now we're down to about 35. And we've seen no commensurate increase in crime. I believe the similar things can be done with our adult detention population in the county jail, and it'll make a big difference. The homeless issue is continuing to evolve, continuing to change. We see a much larger homeless population than we used to see. We've made some progress in terms of veterans housing, but housing for veterans who are homeless, I should say, that has improved some things for us. However, we have to be real about the homeless problems that we face and find real solutions for them that provide services to them. The new notion from HUD is one of providing housing and then deal with some of the social issues that they have in their lives so that we get them safe first and put them in an environment where they have a chance for success. So we've got to stop these kind of maudlin attacks on the homeless, whether it's banning them from the medians or whatever, to dealing with services that provide them food, that provide them shelter, that help them take care of any substance abuse problems they might have in their lives, help them deal with the behavioral health issues that deeply affect them, and help them deal with the frustration that comes from having lived a life of homelessness. It's a very difficult issue. We see homeless people now in parts of the community where we never have before, and frankly, that's causing tension in those communities. I understand it. I respect that. I understand their bad feelings. But we have to be real about the services we provide and not just make up things that really only serve to attack them and mask the real problems that we need to confront.
And that that grant from the MacArthur Foundation to fund the efforts to reduce the populations at the county jail, Pima County is one of 11. There are only 11 jurisdictions nationwide to receive such a grant. So that certainly was a big win.
Absolutely. We're very proud of it, and we look forward to great success.
What was this about at the meeting, something about encouraging Major League Soccer?
Well, we also provided some more seed money for Visit Tucson, which then coordinates with FC Tucson and the teams that come for the Desert Diamond Cup to help them be able to come here and find proper housing, lodging, all that kind of stuff that adds to our tax base. To put it in perspective, last year we had 14 different teams that were professional teams that came here for the Desert Diamond Cup. I think out of those 14 teams, 12 of them were actually Major League Soccer teams from that particular league. And then we had some that came from Mexico as well that were professional teams as well. What a great economic boom that's been for Tucson and has really helped us replace Major League Baseball and made a big difference for people here in Tucson and provided a great sports amenity as well.
Well, a lot of people love soccer, and it's the world's most popular sport, and so a lot of people follow it, and if we can get some of these major league teams here, that's great.
Absolutely, and I enjoy it tremendously, and I'd invite everybody to come to North Stadium and watch the FC Tucson team as we're right at the beginning of their season right now, and it'll be going on till mid-July. A lot of excitement out there, a lot of good family fun, great place to go and spend a nice evening taking a look at the sunset and watching some great professional sports.
I have not talked to you since the decision came down on the endangered species from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the basically signing off on the proposed Rosemont Mine. No problem as far as they see it, but others have a different opinion of the mine and its impact on endangered species, actually 12 imperiled species living in and around the mine site. There are a couple of major decisions still to come from the federal government on this mine.
Absolutely, and this was a hard pill to swallow. It's still kind of stuck in my throat, and despite the fact that we have the only jaguar living in the United States there in the Santa Rita Mountains, we have other endangered species that are there and species that are critically being impacted by it. This is typical of the process of approving a mine, EISs tend to look for issues that they can mitigate rather than putting a stop to things. However, like you said, there's still a decision pending from the Army Corps of Engineers related to
a
Section 504 permit and crossing waterways that are protected by the Clean Water Act. And then also the EPA has not weighed in on the Rosemont mine yet either. So we anxiously await those decisions and hope that we can continue to protect the Santa Rita Mountains, or as the Tohono O'odham call those mountains, Chu Dog, which means Long Mountain.
All right, Richard Elias, I'm going to wrap it up with you, and hope you have a great summer and probably see you here soon. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Bill, and it's always a pleasure to be here on your show.
And I want to tell you that this portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, that's a beautiful part of the southwestern United States.
I love going there. We go there as often as we can to spend a nice long weekend or go to the Gila Wilderness area.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful place.
And your colleagues over there at the Grant County, New Mexico Board of Supervisors, very tourism oriented, and they want to tell all of my listeners that, hey, it's a great getaway, 3 hours east of Tucson, basically, and what makes that area so beautiful, too, a little bit cooler with that mile-high elevation up to 7,000 feet in Pinos Altos, that neat little historic community just north of Silver City. Great places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn. Find out all of the great things to do and places to stay by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back with Dr. David Armstrong, surgeon from the University of Arizona, right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amo Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Well, the nation's obesity epidemic continues to grow, led by an alarming increase among women. New information showing now that 40% of American women are obese. For men, that's about 35%. And obesity means not merely overweight, but seriously overweight. Obesity is considered one of the nation's leading public health problems because it can trigger diabetes, lead to heart disease, and other serious health problems. And when it comes to diabetes, the diabetes epidemic is costing this country a huge amount of money. Dr. David Armstrong, University of Arizona surgeon, joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dr. Armstrong works with diabetic patients whose symptoms sometimes develop into neuropathy or loss of feeling. And Dr. Armstrong is also head of the University of Arizona-based Southern Arizona Limb Salvage Alliance. Dr. Armstrong, how are you?
Bill Buckmaster, it is a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for letting me play hooky from a crazy clinic.
Well, I wanted to give you a break from clinic, and I also wanted you to tell us about some of these outrageous numbers we are seeing about the cost of diabetes to this country. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, it is. I must tell you, Bill, it's hard to overplay these numbers. I mean, they're really extraordinary. You mentioned these figures, the estimates, and I'm just giving you these off the top of my head. The numbers keep increasing. In the United States alone, the direct costs plus some of the indirect costs associated with taking care of diabetes is over $200 billion. That's with a B, billion dollars. The mortality associated with these problems exceeds HIV and breast cancer combined. These sorts of problems are just common. They're complicated, and like you've just said, they're costly.
You travel the world speaking to different medical groups and trying to raise awareness of a typically overlooked issue with diabetes, and that is the problems of foot ulcers, amputations, and kidney failure in diabetic patients. How widespread are those issues?
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you, if you were an evil deity, Bill, and I'm not casting any aspersions, but were you, you could not pick a worse or sneakier disease than diabetes in general, because what happens is all of these symptoms that are associated with diabetes are really characterized by the absence of symptoms. They're quiet. It's quiet and sneaky. These things sneak up on you. People can get silent heart attacks. They can get other silent complications, and it happens so slowly. Obesity creeps up on us slowly over years and decades. And the same thing is with feet. You can get these sort of silent, if you will, foot attacks. What happens is this is probably the most overlooked problem, I would say, and I'd bet my mortgage on this, in medicine or surgery. People with diabetes over time will lose the what one of my mentors, Paul Brand, used to call the gift of pain. Mm. He used to say pain is a gift from God. It's a gift we don't want, but it tells us when there are problems, and that problem is called called neuropathy, as you mentioned, in diabetes. And so people will lose the ability to feel when they need that pain, and they can wear a hole in their foot, just as you or I, Bill, might wear a hole in a sock or a shoe. And that hole is called a diabetic foot ulcer that happens, give or take, about a couple million times in a year in the United States. And once that happens, about half of those folks will get infected. And remember, this is something that might look to us just horrible, but to our patients, the folks I'm seeing right now in clinic, I mean, they're like our family. It doesn't hurt them at all, so they're not going to behave the same way. About half the time, these things get infected. And once they get infected, about one in five will end up with some level of amputation. So that's why there's an amputation now around the world, remarkably, every 20 seconds because of diabetes. So to kind of set that, every 30 minutes, someone loses a leg because of a landmine or an IED or something horrible like that that we hear about on the news all the time. But this happens now not every 30 minutes, but every 20 seconds with diabetes. And this problem does not bang or explode. It's quiet. And you and I are talking about this now, but I'll bet you that we are the only people talking about this on the radio. And I know there are plenty of people, and they should be, talking about things like IEDs. And if you want to compare this, let's compare it to something like cancer. Mm-hmm. This is something that we all care about. We've all had family members with cancer or ourselves if we're cancer survivors. But this problem is like a cancer, Bill. When someone gets a sore and then when they get a wound and then an amputation, five-year survival now is worse than all but the most aggressive forms of cancer. And we would never think of withholding therapy on someone with lung cancer or breast cancer or skin cancer, any of these, God forbid, unless they asked for it. But it happens all the time with a foot problem and diabetes. There's a pervasive notion that, you know, these folks, they just have a sore, they're just going to get another one, why don't you just cut the leg off? And so that is, unfortunately, we just dealt with that last night. We dealt with a person, this wonderful fellow who drove all night to see us, actually. Yeah. It's funny, from New Mexico, Silver City, New Mexico, wow. Based on your last... he was offered, I say offered, in quotations, an amputation previously. And I can understand that if someone doesn't see a lot of these things, they would look at something like this and have a visceral reaction if they're a doctor or a nurse. But he came all, and thank goodness he's doing much better today. My partner, Jen Papalardo, is taking him into the operating room again to clean him up. Look, I'm going off on this crazy soliloquy, Bill, but the problem is that this is a cancer. It's more expensive than the five most expensive cancers in the United States, and yet you and I collectively and all the listeners are the only folks talking or listening about this right now. And that's the big idea here.
It is very hard, as you know, to treat these foot ulcers.
Sure.
And there's some exciting news. It's a drug that was developed in Cuba, and I believe that they have been, it was developed 10 years ago.
Yep.
And this drug has been used to treat more than 200,000 patients with foot ulcers in 26 different countries.
Right.
Is this the most exciting thing that you've seen in a long time? And when are we going to see that drug available in this country?
Well, it's funny you should ask. What I'll tell you is it is exciting. I'd say that the data are really encouraging. And I've been working with colleagues of mine at the equivalent of the Cuban National Institutes of Health. It's called CIGB in Cuba, and these are terrific gentlemen, and one in particular that had developed this interesting growth factor that is a little bit like fertilizer for a wound. It might help to the wound to heal in a little bit faster. And the data seem really interesting. And I think some of the goal was to be able to bring it to the United States to just give it a fair shot. And I'm happy to say that the we're actually meeting again with a Cuban delegation tomorrow at the University of Arizona. And these are representatives from the Cuban National Institutes of Health, CIGB, what's also known as BioCuba Pharma, some leadership from there, and others, to talk about the potential for an alliance between our unit, SALSA, our Arizona Center for Accelerated Biomedical Innovation, which is also part of the University of Arizona, and our Banner University Medical Center, to be kind of the central site for a nationwide and, in fact, worldwide clinical trial. To give this thing a fair shot to see if the promise that it's had in the kind of anecdotally in many of these patients throughout the world can live up to it in the United States. And we're really hopeful because, you know, if you think about this like cancer, you know, there are, I looked it up on the FDA's website, there are over 200 approved therapies for various types of cancers since maybe 1995. Since that same time, there are exactly one for wounds or diabetic foot ulcers, and that have been approved. It's really amazing that this disparity, and this maybe could be something that could be quite helpful.
All right, I'm going to have to wrap it up with Dr. David Armstrong. One quick note, though, if someone does notice a beginning as a small foot ulcer, is it important to get in right away?
Oh, without a question. Listen, time is tissue. That's what we say. Mm-hmm. And just get in to see your foot doctor. Get in to see your podiatrist right away. It is not a foregone conclusion that you have to lose your leg or have all these complications. If you get in to see that doctor, that foot doctor, or your general doctor, the risks for you getting a big problem go way down. And if you can get in before that, that's terrific.
All right. Dr. David Armstrong, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate talking with me.
A pleasure and honor, Mr. Buckmaster.
Thanks a lot. Dr. David Armstrong at the University of Arizona. He heads up he's the director of the UA-based Southern Arizona Limb Salvage Alliance. They do very good work, worldwide recognized, and we're delighted to have him on the program. We'll be right back.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 10 minutes toward 1 o'clock. You have joined us and we are delighted you are with the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 with live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. Let's go now on the live line to the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practices, and he's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
I wanted to have you on today to follow up with our interview with the State Superintendent of Public Instruction. We spent a half an hour with Diane Douglas on the Buckmaster Show yesterday, and I wanted to get kind of an update from her on where we go next now that Proposition 123 has passed. And quite honestly, at that point, we hadn't heard the news that the Attorney General is not going to follow up with fighting this thing in court. So it looks like they're going to go forward with the Prop 123 money.
Very interesting development. I think in terms of the AG's decision, basically not to issue any kind of formal opinion.
Where do you think this thing is then headed? And one thing that did come out of the interview yesterday, Diane Douglas wanted to emphasize, and we've talked about this many times, that just because this thing has passed, Dr. Hendricks, does not mean Arizona is not going to move the needle really in the rankings that usually put Arizona in the bottom third of the states.
No, actually, it moves it very little, and that's kind of surprising, I think, for people who think they look at this very large amount of money over a 10-year period, and they think, well, this is really going to solve our problems. We are in the bottom five of the states in terms of pupil spending, and actually there are only two states below us, Idaho and Utah, and the state just above us is Oklahoma. And to give you an idea of the impact, this is going to move the needle up to about where Oklahoma is.
Mm.
So it's not a major thing in terms of positive movement. It is, and I think in terms of some initial money into teacher salaries and bumping them up to a more competitive wage is going to be helpful, but I think we're still going to have a teacher retention crisis. And so I hear people very carefully saying this is the first step. Well, it truly is the first step because we have to be very careful that legislators and also people who are going to vote in individual districts on future referendums, overrides, and bond issues don't get complacent because, quite frankly, we have not solved the problem, but we have begun to solve it, and we can't stop here.
Well, I think the pro-education advocates now have their work cut out for them more than ever, because those that are not so much in favor of public education, lawmakers in that regard, may just say, well, you got your money, let's move on to something else.
I think that's what they will say. I mean, based on what I've seen them say in the past and the rationale for not funding additional education dollars, I think that's exactly what we're going to hear. And so I think the pundits out there have to keep pushing the needle here, because if we don't, it's going to be more of the same. And I really do believe the legislature was able to bypass a big bullet here by getting this passed. They've in since passed some of the responsibility off to another source of funding, which is the trust fund. But you know, there's nothing else left in the bag. They're going to have to reach into their own budget and fund education. And again, predictably, if it's going to be a Republican legislature, and I'm not casting everyone in this corner, but if it's going to be a Republican legislature, I think the optimism is pretty dim. So we're really going to have to work at it.
Under the current law, public schools in Arizona get 2.5% of the value of the state trust land annually, a figure designed to ensure that the level distributions without endangering the principal. Well, now that we have passed 123, that will boost that to almost 7% for the next decade. So I agree with you. There aren't many arrows left in the quiver to fight to get more money for education, because now we've dipped into the state trust fund. So where do we go from here?
Well, we're going to have to shift our thinking about what is the budget allocation going to be for education. And no one wants to talk about additional taxes, but quite honestly, there are going to have to be some other funding sources, and it can't solely be put on the backs of local districts to raise additional revenue. I think it was also interesting in the AG's opinion, or lack of opinion, however you want to state it, that charter schools are also going to get their share of this money as well. That was a question out there, but it's not addressed by the AG, so it appears that when the money is distributed, charter schools, who by definition in our state are public schools, are going to get a share of that too. There's still one more hurdle, though, and that is this five-member investment board has to meet on June 28th, and there... They need a majority vote for this thing to go forward. If you count the votes, there's going to be at least one negative vote on that panel, because it's Mr. DeWitt. And we know there's going to be one positive, which is the representative from the governor's office. But, there's still a little bit of play within that voting, so we're not quite sure what's going to do. But I'm optimistic that that's going to pass. And if that does pass, Bill, then on June 30th, the first amount of money gets distributed. And, that's absolutely huge. And that's going to be $260 million. They're going to go to local school districts in the state of Arizona.
And, of course, Jeff DeWitt, the state treasurer, was really leading the charge against 123. And Mr. DeWitt has said that he and other members of that state board of investment had questions about whether taking the additional dollars is legal, and he wanted answers before releasing any dollars. So it's interesting. You say that it's a five-member board?
Five-member board.
And you got Mr. DeWitt, who is definitely going to he'll say no, and then there's a governor's representative. So
right.
Who knows about these other three members, how they're
going to
go?
Well, the AG did say in his opinion that regardless of the vote, there would be no personal liability for those individuals. So they can proceed. But, you know, there's one more thing looming in the background, and this is going to be after this June 30th date. So I believe the first amount of money is going to be distributed, but there's still a federal court case challenging the trust fund money.
Hmm.
And that's yet to be decided. So if that's decided not in the favor of the state and the proposition, then we're back to the drawing board. And we still have, I'm going to say that first amount of money, theoretically, can still come from the amount set aside that didn't come from the trust fund.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's any, we're not in harm's way there, but it certainly would create more chaos and more havoc if this federal court case does not rule in state's favor.
All right. Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much, Bob. Always a pleasure.
Okay.
Thanks
Take
a lot.
Care, Bill.
Bob
Bye.
Hendricks with us on the Buckmaster Show, shedding some light on now the post-123 environment of education in this state. The environment for talk is good here on KVOI. We have Mike Shaw, his show 4 to 5. Ray Allen helps out on that. They'll be along this afternoon, and then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone and a different guest host every day, and then me for our Friday Focus interview. Tomorrow, the mayor will be here. Mayor Rothschild, will be joining by Sarah Garrett-Gaston, the star, in the questioning of the mayor. Lots to talk about, certainly, in that regard. That's coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. Until then, at 12:04 tomorrow afternoon, I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray and I wish you a great afternoon and evening. Thanks.